Wow, that was weird.
We are back. Back again, and better than ever. Welcome back. Guess who's back? Well, say, who sings that song?
That's Mace.
Who was? Dang.
That's when he put down his...
Was he a pastor?
Yeah, that's when he left. He left in, like, 98 to be a pastor.
Damn.
Came back in 2004 with that song and that Breathe, Shed, Straight.
Really?
Breathe, Shred, Let It Go. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was a big bass fan.
That's the time. Oh, that's dope. That's the time when Ying Yang Twins were dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, what's he talking about?
What's that mean?
What is he showing?
I know.
Wait, mind your business.
About to go see myself a Ying Yang Twin. Yo, did y'all see those leaks?
Bro, everybody got a leak.
My shit's intact.
No, I gotta go.
Wait till you see that. Alright, guys, we're talking about Marshawn Lynch just before we went. It'd be cool to see him back. I think at the end of the day, it's crazy how he left, comes back, left, comes back. He's pretty much doing whatever he wants with the league at this point.
But that's been his whole career, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
True.
So I'm happy, though. I'm happy. Should we cut out Elena?
I'm a fan. Yeah, just do it. Nobody needs to see me.
Okay, cool. There.
I don't need to see that.
Hey, you said it, not me.
Psych. Focus.
You were thinking it earlier, so.
I did not.
Y'all put it out there.
And then y'all went to negativity.
All right. We got a show to do, guys. We lost like 10 minutes. So good. Do we know? One thing I did want to talk about is this Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and Daniel Jacobs fight. If you guys didn't know, Julio Cesar Chavez and Daniel Jacobs met up in Phoenix, Arizona just for a friendly match. It wasn't even anything title or anything. It was just for them to make money, realistically. But the name Julio Cesar Chavez still pulls, and Jr., disappointed like always, gave up in the fifth round. If you were posted on our Instagram, you saw the videos of him claiming that he had broken his nose, broken his arm, and that's why he had said that he was done. Yeah, that's what he initially said. He pointed at his arm, and Freddie Roach looked at his arm and said, there's nothing wrong with your arm.
Yeah, Freddie Roach has been doing it longer than he's probably alive.
I was about to say.
He was like, you good? Nah, man, I know my arm, bro. It's not where I can work.
So then Freddie Roach looked at him, and then blood skews down his nose, and he says, I can't breathe. So then Freddie Roach is like, oh, well, if you can't breathe, I can't blame you. You know, you just can't breathe. You got to breathe to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, all right, whatever. And Freddie Roach just turned around and the way I saw it, he was disappointed. And in the fifth round, after a fight that realistically I think was pretty evenly matched, it didn't look like it was like this super terrible fight where like he was getting rocked. It just seemed like he was honestly just tired of it and didn't want to do it. Probably one of those disclaimers where it says, up to the fifth round, you get 3 mils.
Right.
Or something like that.
Yep.
And he said, I'm happy with 3 mil. Let's go home.
This is 5 or we 4? No, it's 5. Hey, my arm broke right now. That's weird.
Didn't he blame it on a headbutt?
Exactly.
That's what he said.
So then he said it was a headbutt by Jacobs, which in the tape, there is no headbutt. There's a headbutt, but it's not to the nose.
Or the head.
So, and then he blamed it to an elbow, and that's what cut him on the little on the top left side of his eyebrow. And he said that was the reason why he had to stop, because there was a lot of blood, which wasn't true. There wasn't a lot of blood flowing. So this was obviously a hoax. It was all a lie. He gave up. Let's say there is problems breathing. You rely on your cut man. That's why a lot of boxers pick certain trainers, because they're really good with cuts.
Right.
For example, Estrellita, which is what's his name? The dude that just lost from Mexico. Can't believe I forgot his name.
Your boy?
Yeah.
Andy
Ruiz. Estrellita is one of the best cut men in the business. If you saw, he got hit early, same cut pretty much, and it didn't bleed out throughout the fight. He went 12 rounds, and he didn't have, like, a pouring blood. Mm-hmm. That guy's good, you know? So then you're like, okay, he's a good trainer, and he's a good cut man. All right, cool, we're good. And I think Freddie Roach is probably one of the best cut men that you could find. If not, your dad probably bought you a really good cut man.
Yeah.
And he said, nah, I wasn't going to keep fighting. And he gave up, and he said that he dropped the fight at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So at that situation, the whole place erupts, and the ring announcer has to say that he gave up, because that's the verdict.
Right.
That's what it was. It wasn't a knockout. It's not a technical knockout. Somebody gave up, so now they got to call it. The people find out, and they start pouring beer and trash on the ring. Very Raider fashion. It happened that way. To the point where even when he's leaving, they're still dumping trash and dumping beer and all these things on him. My personal opinion, I'm not mad at the fans.
At all. You can't be. You spent your hard-earned money on those tickets to get a full fight, mm-hmm. and then somebody pulls out the fifth inning for undisclosed reasons when you really not even hurt. Yep. You really don't have a choice. Yep. You know, I don't blame him either.
Yeah. Especially, for example, like the name that you carry. Yeah.
Right.
If you've ever seen, like, if you look back and look at the Julio Cesar Chavez versus Oscar De La Hoya fight, that man was covered in blood. Covered in blood. Julio Cesar Chavez would not quit. He would only stop if they literally dropped him to the ground or the ref said, you're not going anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And his reaction?
Oh, my God.
I was dead.
That was amazing.
He was not. Yeah. Wow.
The dad just had so... He was so upset. Embarrassed.
Yep.
He was just rubbing his head going, oh, and just like this.
He like even like threw back his head and like his arms and was like...
That's crazy.
Yeah, and he looked up and he's yelling at him. And in Spanish, he said, ¿Qué estás haciendo? Which is like, what are you doing? He's like, what are you doing? And then obviously the son wasn't even looking at him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just embarrassed.
I feel like at some point, like, you have to be embarrassed about that, too. Because the legacy that you brought on, you expect your son to carry that on, especially by giving him your same name. And then when he's not living up to those expectations, you have to.
100%. 100%. And at that point, like I said, it just seemed like he wasn't willing to fight. Afterwards, I guess he was in the hospital, and I'm not going to knock it out. He probably did hurt his nose, maybe broke it. And his dad took a picture of him on his bedside. I guess they had surgery or something done, and the dad was like, oh, you know, this is my son. I do apologize to the fans, but he did have to stop the fight because of this. I get it. It's your son. I understand. You know, like they always say, he can be whatever he wants, but he's still my son. I get that. But it's just, you can just definitely tell that this kid is just writing the name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to, and another thing, look, the fight originally was supposed to be in Las Vegas, but he would not do it in Las Vegas. Why? Because in with the Nevada Fighting District, you have to take a drug test. He didn't want to take a drug test.
Mm.
So they had in Arizona where you're not required to take a drug test.
Mm.
Number two, he came into the fight 5 pounds over.
Wow.
Mm.
Now, I'm not against whatever you want to do, put yourself and do whatever you want. If you want to do drugs, you want to drink alcohol before the fight, you want to do coke before the fight, you want to do whatever you want, hey, do what you got to do. It's not my life. It's your money, not mine. But this shows how he obviously wasn't taking it serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest, he would have made a lot more money in Vegas.
Yeah.
He would have had a lot more seats than what he did in Phoenix. But what happened? He's like, nah, I just want to do this instead and then make a little bit of money on the side.
And now he's about to dip out forever. We're never going to hear from ever again. Yeah, literally. He's going to ride his 3 mil till
Mike Tyson's in it. And
that's it. So, like I said, it was just disappointing. It was sad. It was sad to see. Honestly, when I saw it, I couldn't get over it. I couldn't go, and that's why I did that edit with the dad punching him. Because I was like, hell no. Like,
that
this,
was good.
This is crazy. I was like, there's no way this guy will ever live up to his dad.
Yeah.
Ever. But I don't know. Like I said, I hope that there's a better name. And there's plenty of names out there. And it's sad because everybody, you know, links him to the Mexican-style fighting.
Mm-hmm.
My ass, not Mexican-style fighting.
That's not fighting.
That's not fighting at all. It's not fighting at all. But yeah, it was crazy. I don't know. I just thought it was... I thought it was sad, and it just shows how undisciplined this kid is. And I say kid, but he's probably older than me. But he acts like a child. Yeah, but yeah, other than that, you guys have anything else to say about that?
Freddie Roach is probably mad, too.
Oh, hell yeah. You know how much money the dad spent to get Freddie Roach?
I was just about to say, like, I didn't even know, like, he was, like, in his corner.
Yeah.
Like, and then just see it. I think I saw, like, the video y'all posted of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm like, bro, wait, like, you really about to quit with Freddie Roach right there? Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy, but...
That must have been hella embarrassing for Freddie Roach. Well, he's probably like, oh, I take my money and I run.
Yeah, that's true, too.
That's it. I don't know. But it was crazy. I don't know. Want to talk about a little bit about the Knights?
Yeah, we can talk a little bit about them. Unfortunately, right now, they are losing 2-1 to the Colorado Avalanche.
What's up with that? I feel like it's just an up and down season.
Yeah, but see, that's kind of why I want to talk about them, because even though they haven't been winning as strongly as they have been the last two seasons,
right?
They beat the Sharks last night, which put them in first place in the Pacific Division,
right?
Which is what really matters,
right?
So, like I said before, you can lose games on the other side of the division all you want, but you got to win games in your division, which they're doing. Unfortunately, like I said, right now they're losing to the Avalanche. Hopefully they can turn that around and stay on top.
Right.
But going into it today, they're on top of the division, 46 points. The Avalanche, I believe, were 44, 45, so right there. So whoever wins this game will be D1. On top. Right. Yeah, so, I mean, still a lot of hockey left, just like we talked about earlier with baseball and with basketball. Like, nothing really matters until All-Star Game.
Right.
Which I think is coming up next month, middle of January, something like that. But, yeah, they're just hanging in there. Yeah, they're doing what they need to do. They're not on the bottom. I mean, I don't think they've been on the bottom all season.
Because I think, like we've said before, the expectations are so high
right.
that anytime they lose two in a row, maybe even three,
yeah.
we think the season's over.
Right.
We're automatically looking at it like, damn, this is crazy. Like, I can't believe we're losing three in a row.
Yeah. But in the first season, we had like a 5-6 game winning streak multiple times.
Right.
I'm losing streak, sorry, multiple times.
Yeah.
And then they got themselves collected, gathered, and made a playoff run.
Hockey, realistically, playoffs don't start until what? February, March? March. So it's still going to be a very long season.
Exactly. And they played three, four times a week.
Yeah.
That's still a lot of hockey, still a lot of games to play. So, again, nothing really matters until at least All-Star break.
Right.
You know, because there's so many games. But, I mean, as long as they stay within... You know,
yeah, two, within three range
of the top of the division,
right?
You know, they'll be all right.
Or keep a winning record, like,
yeah.
As long as
you're over 500, I think you'll be fine at this point.
Yeah, because I mean, I think there's what 8 teams from each side that make it or something like that.
Yeah.
So I mean, we'll be all right.
I hope we do. Ryan Reeves got in a scuffle last night.
He always stay fighting.
That was crazy though. I remember I saw a documentary. I forgot where it was, but. Essentially, every hockey team has that one guy, the Reeves, you know, where he's a fighter.
We didn't have that until him.
Well, but my thing is, how do you baptize yourself like that? Like, how do you go, all right, guys?
I'm going to be that guy.
I got it.
Well, okay, so he actually talked about it before, like, because somebody pointed that out, like, you know, why are you like this?
Who hurt you?
Yeah, basically. And, like, he basically just said that, you know, when he got into it, like, he knew he was never the best. He wasn't the fastest. He wasn't, you know, the most agile. He wasn't the most, you know, didn't have the best hands. You know, he wasn't, like, the top of his class in any one category, but he was tough. He could, you know, take hits and he would just bounce right back up and, you know, get back to work. And... he said something along the lines of that basically, like, when he was coming up in the lower division of hockey, that people didn't like that.
Right.
That when they would hit him and he would get back up, it would make them mad, so they want to fight him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then he's like, okay, well, I guess I got to learn how to fight. And so he, like, yeah, so, like, his brother plays Canadian football.
Oh.
So him and his brother both in the contact sport, like, their dad took him to, you know, a gym in Canada up there where they're from and basically taught him how to box. So knowing that he wasn't going to be a leading goal scorer, wasn't going to be, you know, your top assist guy, wasn't going to be on the number one line. Yeah, like that he knew that if he had to be good at something, that it was going to be fighting. Yeah. And I mean, look how many people don't want to fight him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he's on the ice, you have people who, you know, he has a little beefs with, you know, Tom Wilson from Washington, Evander Kane from the Sharks, you know, they have their little beef, but outside of that, nobody really wants the smoke from Ryan Reeves.
I don't think at any point when he takes his gloves off, you have to do it at that point.
Yeah.
But anything before that, I don't think anybody does it. I don't think anybody takes their gloves off first before him.
No, he's down. He's down to ride whenever. Because if you're just in the point where you're just like pushing and shoving,
right?
Sometimes the ref won't even call a penalty.
Right.
So they'll just separate you, go about your business.
Right.
If there's like it's really, really aggressive. Sometimes they'll give you a 2-minute penalty for roughing.
Right.
Once the gloves comes off, no matter what happens,
you're both getting a penalty, yeah.
So at that point,
you might as well kick his ass.
Yeah, you might as well, right? Yeah, so if you're going to the penalty box either way, you might as well fight.
That's funny.
So yeah, and he's always down to throw hands with. Phone. I feel like we do
this about it. I know.
Yeah, he's definitely about that life. So.
I respect it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and that's why, that's what makes him a lot of, like, people's favorite player.
Because mm-hmm.
that's, like, probably, like, the top, I was going to say Vikings, the top Knights jersey. Yeah. Because I'm always getting asked, where can I get a Ryan Reeves jersey?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not here.
You're like, from the Ryan Reeves store, probably. Yeah. Yeah, he's just a tough guy, and he used his toughness to his advantage to figure out where he would fit in.
Right.
And, I mean, it's obviously worked. He made it to the NHL. We're
on our A-game today, guys.
It's the holidays. So he made it to the NHL, and he just signed, you know, an extension with the Knights for like $1 billion and $1 billion. So,
nice. Wow. $1 a year.
When you put it that way.
Hey, no, that's not true, because he's going to die before he hits a billion. So he's cashing out. But yeah, he found his role. He found his...
Area
where he fits in, and he excels.
And it's a very, very new, like, he's obviously the first player to do this with the Knights.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting, you know. He's going to go down in history as one of the, remember Ryan Reeves when he used to get in the fight? Like, it's going to go down in history.
It's one of them things where, like, and I'm sure he knows this, like, when, you know, we're getting outshot, out, you know, skated, like, nothing's going our way. And,
you
like,
just got to throw it down.
That just builds, like, especially at home, like, it changes the energy because, you know, he doesn't lose many fights.
Right.
So just having that, like, quick change of momentum can, you know, turn the whole game around.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure he's very aware of that. And, you know, it's nobody's like, hey, Ryan, go out there and fight somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he's like,
I want
to
fight somebody.
You know, I'm not contributing to the team. Like, you know what I'm saying? Let's do something 5 minutes away from it. It's not going to hurt nobody because both of you are going to the penalty box.
Yeah.
So it's not a power play.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if I had to sit out for 5 minutes, like, that's cool. I'm on the fourth line anyways. Like, they're not looking to me to be the goal scorer or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, and even on top of that is people know him as, like, the guy who's just skating around, like, dropping bodies. So when he does get the puck, they don't expect him to score. They don't expect him to pass. Mm-hmm. So when he does that, it's like, yo, look what he just did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It makes him look better when he scores.
Right.
Or when he hits that crazy pass or, you know, makes that big defensive play. It's like, oh, man, look at Ryan Reeves doing it. It's like a basic shot, and he scored. And, look how much better he looks at it. Because he's just
he impresses people so much more.
Right, exactly. And, like, I mean, I feel like that works to his benefit also because he's just doing what he's supposed to do, but he gets more credit for it because... It's not expected. He's the fourth line thug out here scoring goals.
And knocking people out.
Yeah.
I can't imagine for a player like Cody Glass, who's a rookie,
mm-hmm.
and comes into the locker room, and then a player like that comes in. I mean, I know there's like, I listened to a podcast called with Ricky Romero, which was a professional baseball player, a pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. And when he came up, he said that they used to tell the rookies, like, they'll be sitting in on the private jet. Team has a private jet, and they'll be flying. Like they'll be flying somewhere, and they'll tell the rookie, hey, I want peanuts. And the rookie's got to stand up and grab the peanuts. This guy is an all-star player. His first year, you know, probably the best player in the team. Starting pitcher, but he's still a rookie.
Yeah.
Like, the Dodgers dress up the rookies. Like, they make them dress up like cheerleaders.
Yeah, or, like, they got the pink backpacks.
The pink backpacks in San Diego. Yeah, they got the pink backpacks in San Diego, and they make the rookies carry. So I can't imagine a player like Cody Glass coming into someone like Ryan Reeves who kicks everybody's ass, and you're like, what's he going to make me do? Like, what do I do? You know what I mean? It's just crazy how I think, like, a player like Marc-Andre Fleury, which is, like, obviously a well-experienced player, probably Hall of Fame. These things are going to, you know, that guy carries a lot of weight. And you're just going to come in here and act like you own it? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I can't imagine how that locker room vibe might be.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, all these guys, like, especially the first year, was, like, they were the unwanted. They were the ones that their teams didn't feel were worth, you know, bargaining to keep.
Right.
So they all kind of came in, they're like, we're all on the same... Yeah. level, we're all on the same page, like,
they didn't want,
you know,
all of us.
I feel like they built a camaraderie differently than
just a regular team.
Like, you know, you've had, you know, your guys who are on the team for 10-15 years, and, you know, that's like the dad, that's like the rule right. maker, you know. But when the Knights got put together, they all got put together, and, you know, you have guys like Fleury, who's been around for, you know, way longer than any of them,
right?
You know, he's really the only one that has that locker room experience, like you said. Everybody else is kind of like, all right, well, what do we do? We got to figure out what our culture is and how to set everything up. Right. So, like, I wouldn't imagine it to be, like, too intimidating.
Right, considering that everybody was new.
Exactly. Right. So, you don't think that, except, with the exception of Fleury, everybody only been in maybe, what, less than 5 years, six years?
Yeah. And it's just one of those things where I said, like, it's the city was wrapping itself around it, and it was becoming something very new, and everybody was kind of rooting for the Knights. So, we always talk about this, but, yeah, I can't imagine a player like, you know, any rookie that comes up It'll be interesting to see what type of culture they've built in the last 2-3 years. So,
and I mean, when they all first came, like, they were all on 1-year contracts.
Yes.
So a lot of them rented houses together, rented apartments together. Yeah. And
like the,
you know,
like the Lights, they all lived together.
Yeah. Like Tommy was saying last week. So, I mean, that definitely probably built their bond a little bit differently than most organizations would be.
Yeah.
I'm sure they all probably see, you know, like guys like Carlson and Marshy, who they may have like a little bit more authority up there because they're like the leaders of the team, they're the face of the team. But I mean, everybody else coming in together, just trying to figure out where they belong, how they can basically earn their keep. And everybody who got their extension or whatever, they all went and almost immediately bought houses because they knew they were going to stay here.
Right.
You know, so you get that local feel, like this is home now.
Yeah.
It's not just going to be like, oh, well, when do I got to pack up and move again?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely a
different atmosphere, feel, different vibe.
Yeah, than most other, you know, organizations are. But I mean, I'm sure you still get that, like I said, you're, what, 18, 19?
Right.
First stepping over here with guys who are now been in the league 2-3 years. And you're just like, wow, like, I seen you on TV last year.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You know, like, I know friends that wear your jersey. Like, that's, I remember when, you know,
I feel like I would be that player that would be like, I have your jersey at home.
Yeah.
Can you sign it if I said
so? Can
you just give me the one you wear after the game?
Oh, I would do that all the time.
I'll take everybody. Yeah. Like, don't even worry about that.
Like, every other with football and basketball, how
Lamar carries extra jerseys. Like, he carries, like, 5 or 6 extra jerseys on him. Yeah. Because last week, I forgot who they played, but two players asked for his jersey. So he said, oh, I'll get one. I got one in the locker room.
Yeah. Right.
And he went, came back, and he signed it and gave it to him. I'm like, dang. Like,
that's crazy.
I don't know if that's humble or if that's just humble brag.
Yeah, like a little bit of both.
I was like, a little bit of both.
You know what I mean? Because,
like, on one hand, like you said, I want to be friendly and prepared, but I only got one jersey on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know multiple people. Like, I don't want somebody to be left out.
Maybe I want your jersey and I want your jersey. So if I get both of you, then I get two.
He's looking out for himself.
But I mean, these people, he's not getting like these. That's another thing. Is like, if you're like this big time player. Like, I remember I was watching something on HBO where it was like, they interviewed a couple linemen. It's like, nobody wants to trade with a lineman. It's like, we got the biggest jerseys.
Yeah.
We're not the most famous. It's like, no, but every lineman wants to trade with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, it's so hard. You know how hard? Yeah. He said, you know how disappointing it is when they tell you, ah, nah, man, I'm good. And then you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's when you have, like the, when you have brothers or cousins. Cousins and
like the Cologne brothers.
Yeah, like, hey man, like, trade me your jersey. I wanted to trade a Tom, but like,
I want to trade a Tom.
But hey man, Christmas is coming up. You know, we got the family thing. If you don't give me your jersey, I'm telling mom.
I know. Well, they just had the three brothers, right? There was three brothers on the field, NFL, and three brothers in the NBA.
And there was another funny one. I just looked it up right now. It was Joe Mixon from the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted Tom Brady's jersey, but like, was just too intimidated and like didn't ask him, and like so he like had mentioned it in, like, and I don't know if it was an interview or just like in passing or whatever, and that just said he was, you know, just too intimidated to ask him about it, and then got back to Tom Brady, and so Tom Brady gave him like a new brand new signed one.
Like, I saw that on Twitter. I was like, that's kind of cute, because he was like, he was like, oh, didn't want to bother him.
Like, look how happy he is.
Yeah.
Like, he's a grown man.
Like a little kid.
Mom, look at me.
That's funny. One thing that I wanted to ask today, obviously, Christmas coming up. We got the holidays coming up. We're still going to have our episode next week. So we'll have a little New Year's thing. But next week, I want to have like a little decade thing, where we talk about the last 10 years in sports, favorite times, favorite whatever. It could be personal, whatever it is. So just shooting that out there for what we want, what I want to do for next week. Because there's going to be a lot of bowl games, there's going to be a lot of things. Mm. So I don't, you know, I think it would be cool to recap the last 10 years in sports. Okay. But one of the things that I want to talk about right now, kind of leading up to that, is we're going to have, obviously, this decade is over. We're coming into 2020. People are making a big hype. I hate doing that. I hate being the guy who goes like, oh, you know, for next year, I'm going to do this. It's like, it's just another day.
Like, yeah, why didn't you start this last week?
But in sports, everything is set up by season, by, you know, down. Everything's very squared off. So what is your most surprising team? So the team that surprised you the most this decade, so either successful or a team that in the last 10 years wasn't what it was before it, just one of the most successful teams that you guys think like, dang, that's a team that I was like, damn, this 10 years was its prime, or for whatever reason these last 10 years, and the most disappointing team in the last 10 years, which I'm sure we can all think of that before we think of the most successful one. But I want to start off by saying my favorite team in the last 10 years wasn't even one of my teams. My favorite team is the Chicago Cubs because they had gone 100 years without winning World Series. And then I can literally say that I lived to see the Chicago Cubs win a World Series.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That to me was amazing. Even growing up was a joke forever that I always thought and was like, there's no way that the Chicago Cubs and the second team that I think right now, there's a couple teams, especially because I'm a baseball fan, but the Kansas City Royals. Because the Kansas City Royals, in my opinion, had one shot to win the World Series and they took it and they did it. And I feel like there will never be another opportunity for the Kansas City Royals to win the World Series simply because they are not a very successful farm system. And I just think it's just one of those things that it's just not gonna work out. And my most disappointing team are my Oakland Raiders because it has been a rough couple of years. I remember I looked up a meme that was in 2002 and it was about the Raiders not being successful. And it's 2019, and they're still not successful. Right.
But see, at least they're not as terrible as the Browns, like we talked about last
week. But it feels more. You're like, dang, like we've really been that bad for a long time. And considering that the Raiders fan base is still very connected to the team, you know, they're moving to Vegas. It's like a bad team doesn't move. Yeah. Bad teams usually don't move. You know, bad teams usually, you know, stay where they are, and they get stuck, and they get forgotten. But it was just crazy. So, yeah, the Raiders, in my opinion, and considering that they're coming to Vegas next year, I do want to put that out there because I feel like it's going to change. You know, the atmosphere is going to change, and I feel like the Las Vegas Raiders are going to bring a whole new vibe into the organization.
I feel that. I can see that because I don't think they would have went out and got what's the coach's name?
Oh, Gruden?
Yeah, Brian I don't Gruden? Think they would have went out and got Gruden for 10 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, not for that many years.
Yeah, that's the thing. If they, I felt like it was already leading up to something big already. Because I was like, damn, that's crazy. Ain't nobody getting that kind of money as a coach in the NFL. So I already figured that something was going to come. So I see that happening. Like, once they come here, the whole atmosphere, the whole everything in there is going to change. I see that.
So I'm excited for that. But Chicago Cubs, in my opinion, there's been a lot of successful teams these last 10 years, but I think that just the Chicago Cubs doing what they did and winning a World Series, that to me was everything. So that was amazing. This thing is going to die.
But that's a hard question though. Cause like, I don't know. I feel like there's just so much that you can pack in a decade and like,
100%. I mean, I only looked at the ones that I thought, but, do you guys have one?
Yeah, I'm prepared. I just looked at it. So I would give mine to Serena.
Hey!
Because she
shout out,
Desi.
It's been a really good 10 years.
It's been, she has 23 total major singles titles, and she's won 12 of them
in the last 10 years. I'll change mine. Disappointing Tiger Woods.
His can go both ways, though.
Yeah.
Because he had that rough patch, but then he also bounced back.
And I was
like,
"Yay,
Tiger!" But then
it's been a crazy 10 years for him.
Yeah, Serena, she has been through like so much injuries lately the past couple years. She had her kids, so she had a lot of downtime. But like, I mean, you can't forget she's been dominating things since what, like 97 or something like that.
She's been up there.
And now she's like one of the more older, female players, but she's still consistently top 5, top 10. Like, I mean, she's definitely going to be go down in history as like one of the best players, male or female, in tennis.
Yeah.
But just looking at her record now, she's got 2 gold medals in the past 10 years. 23 total titles. 12 of them came in the last decade.
Yes.
So, I mean that's pretty dope, I think.
Yeah.
That is pretty dope.
Yeah. Worst? Do you got a worst? You can pivot and save it for the next week if you want.
I think I would still go with the Browns. Yeah. As most disappointing.
Detroit Lions?
Nah, the Lions have never been. I think I would take the Lions over the Browns any day.
Yeah.
But, like.
I feel like you could get maybe, like, 50-50 on the Lions, and the Browns is just the a straight. I've never like, bet on the
I
Browns.
I would never bet on them for any situation, like.
Even coming into this season, I was yeah. so like.
You really? I thought they were going to be good. I would have bet some money on them.
I thought they. After Big Ben went out, yeah. I kind of figured, like, okay, like, this is their chance yeah. to prove right. something. But Eric, they just imploded, like, they always do.
Like,
so.
They always literally.
Shaq, you got one?
Yeah, I'm a little biased, but I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna say the Red Sox. Besides,
okay. Why? Because he's sitting that. Next to you?
Huh?
Because he's that. Sitting next to you?
Oh, no, no, no. I'm a Red Sox fan too. I'm a Red Sox fan.
Oh, God, dude. This is
yeah. I forgot to mention yeah. that.
I was just looking this up.
Celtics, and he likes the Vikings, yeah. and he likes the Red Sox.
Oh, hey, speaking man, of Vikings.
But yeah, I was just looking this up, but the only other team to win multiple World Series in this decade is the.
The stupid Giants.
Yeah, the Giants. Yeah, the Giants. Just had it. Yeah. The Giants. Stupid they won Giants. Three.
So, I forget that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they had a quiet. They people forget about it every year, obviously. But yeah, I think that's pretty dope, you know. And yeah, especially right. on top of that, like us, like especially last year, we really didn't come out being like highly touted for us to
right,
win.
Right,
so I think
right.
it's pretty cool, especially that being like Big Poppies last year. Yeah. And then you know, we on top of the Yankees and the Dodgers. So anytime we're on top of them, it's already a good year. And then my most disappointing, it'd probably have to be the Cowboys, man. Like, you have Zeke Elliott over there.
Yeah.
You got to feed him the ball. And I get it. Like, y'all mm-hmm. want Dak to be that guy, but he just don't have it. And you can't not. Force somebody yeah. to have it.
Right. I think Dak would be more successful if he doesn't get the ball as much.
Yeah.
Because then those opportunities would be like, okay, those opportunities that he gets, they're going to be clutch. They're yeah. going to be situations where he's going to have to do it. And if he comes through... It's going to mean so much more.
Exactly.
But Zeke, if you just give the ball to Zeke, he's another Marshawn.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like we've seen looking at him when he was in Ohio State, like, yeah. like, here you go, sir. Do whatever you want. And he'd be like, hey guys, Zeke's getting the ball. We got to stop him. They're yeah. like, oh, yeah, yeah, we got yeah, this. We got and he'd like, hey, guys, I'm getting the ball. You got to stop me. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he's like, here, Zeke, here's the ball. Go ahead, guys. He's got the ball. Stop him. And then he'd still go
he
and score touchdowns.
Just say, I'm going through the A-gap, and they would still not
yeah,
go.
Yeah, still got
bring
him.
Eight people here. Look, guys, I'm going right Stand here. No joke. Right I'm here. Going right here. I'm not tricking you. I'm not kidding. I'm going right here.
And he still would.
Bring everybody. Still, yeah. And then he'd go there, and he would still end up on the other side and run 90 yards for a touchdown. And yep. there's nothing you could do about it.
As we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast, like, they come in every year, too. Like, yo, we mm-hmm. got this team around us, yeah. and they still don't live up to the yep. expectations.
What's the in one word, why are they still not successful?
Management.
Management?
Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones got to step down from being the general manager. And Ooh. I think it starts from there. Yeah. You either got to pick one or the other. Either be the yeah. owner or
the GM.
The GM. You can't do both.
I agree. Yeah.
Because there's guys like the Patriots who don't have a GM. They have their owner and they have Belichick.
Right.
And yeah. Belichick basically
well,
makes
Belichick
the decisions for the most.
Is the GM position.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
He is, yeah.
He's more or less the decision maker.
Which is giving your coach so much power over the team that yeah. it could go... Really good,
right? Or really,
really bad,
right? But when yeah. you got the guy who's clearly has a track record of winning,
mm-hmm.
versus like you said with Jerry Jones, who I mean he's like 48,000 years old. Like I mean,
I'm like, he's older than 48.
Your like logic of thinking is not the same as somebody who's with the players all the time,
mm-hmm. right?
Is
yeah.
in this environment.
And knows what he needs to succeed.
Nosebleed
yeah.
suites, watching on your HD 50
yeah.
foot screen in front of the screen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you letting this guy, because he has the money? Like,
that's exactly
how
it. That's
how
exactly
it works.
And nobody's going to tell Jerry Jones no
yeah.
at
yeah.
the end of the day. So.
Otherwise, you're not playing for the Cowboys.
Exactly.
Now, which may not be such a bad thing,
right.
depending on who you are.
Yeah.
That may not be your worst thing you can go with.
I don't know. I think, and this is going to sound terrible, but I'm a very realistic person. Like, I'm just real.
But you're a doctor.
Santa Claus real.
Exactly. So, point is, I think my most disappointing would have to be my own Dodgers.
I agree.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
many, like, it's just, it's too disappointing. I don't even want to talk about it. Like, it's, I'm still hurt.
It is.
So, you're still hurt from last year or from the year before?
Or the year before.
or from the year before.
Exactly my
or
point.
Or from the year before that.
That's it.
To not... That's yes. That's no.
So then what's your good? Your
I don't know. Most... I think...
The Lakers have been pretty disappointing the last 10 years.
They have. Well,
Okay, mm-hmm. I will say, like, I hate
the it's Lakers. It's hard to, like, passion. Split the decade. Yeah, like, it's but, like a split
but
decade.
But the Lakers are only disappointing because of their previous years.
Can I just say Kobe is a very happy and successful story in the NBA?
Yeah.
Which could have not been. You know, he left because of injury. You know what I mean? He just... I feel like we witnessed the living legend, which was Kobe Bryant. And then, aka, we saw him in person as well. But also the fact that these last 10 years we lived through the decade of Kobe.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I was kind of leaning towards that. Like, I was actually gonna say LeBron.
Yeah,
but
I guess you're right.
It like him coming to the Lakers at first, I was like, that was kind of weird.
But
like
it's turned out into something
but
really good.
I like how it carries a legacy of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that.
100%.
And the LeBron in LA legacy is. I mean, not personally what I expected it to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely gone away from him having to carry the team and, you know, basically ball out. But now he's kind of like put himself in a position to force everybody else to get to his level and to grow, like, immediately rather than just to be like, all right, here, LeBron, here's the ball.
Give me, take
us there.
It's kind of like, here, let me elevate you.
Exactly. Now he's like, no, I'm not doing this. Here, you go do it. Let me help you get there. So, you know, he knows he's not going to play forever.
Yeah.
He knows he's, like, you know, coming down towards the end of his years. So he's trying to set somebody else up for to be able to continue, you know, his legacy, which is going to be his legacy is, you know, carrying Cleveland, carrying Miami, carrying Cleveland again.
Right.
And going to L.A. and setting them up. Not carrying them, but setting them up to be...
And this is
something
where
else.
AD might become the bigger player.
Yeah.
AD could easily be a better player than LeBron, considering his age, considering his experience, considering that he could continue as a Laker as LeBron retires in the next 5 or 6 years, or even a lot less, to be honest. But for someone like Caruso, like, that's huge to play with the fucking LeBron James.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's
huge. Being in and out of the G League and
you know what I mean? Like, that's a huge deal to be in the presence of, and then now your name is presented out there.
Your face is on
T-shirts. Out there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, these are the things that LeBron brings, and in this situation, like you said, he didn't carry the team. He leveled the team.
Yeah.
And that, and you're right. Yeah, we're going to go down as, you know, we lived through LeBron, and, you know, we sat maybe 3 feet away from him. But
that's wild, too.
On more than one occasion.
Yeah,
so.
I have another ad that I looked up. Like top moments of the decade, and one thing I definitely forgot about, which was super crazy, was Leicester City in 2016. Are you guys familiar with
them?
The soccer team, yeah. They were 5,000 to 1 odds to win, and what is it, the Premier League?
Yeah, the Premier League.
The Premier League. And so
I actually do remember that.
Yeah, 2016. So the 2015 season, they barely squeaked by, because in the Premier League, if you're not familiar, if you don't win a certain amount of games or you don't finish in a certain amount of spots, they basically, like, demote you.
Right, yeah,
and then
another
team will move up, which is kind of how they should be doing, like, NFL and stuff. It's, to, like, you know, it prevents, like, teams going on dynasty records and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But they were, you know, at the bottom, barely made it by
and
being,
then,
you know, demoted, and just went on a crazy run, and they won games that they shouldn't have won. They blew out teams that had no business even being in the game with them.
Yeah.
And then going into it, their final game was with Chelsea or Tottenham. Chelsea and Tottenham played, and all they needed was for Chelsea to not win. And it went down to a draw, and the draw gave the points to Leicester City and gave them the Premier League championship.
Yeah.
5,000 to 1 odds.
I would have put some money
and,
on that.
Yeah, we would have known.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's like the team that I follow from Mexico, the Cholos Cuincles. They had just moved up from the B League, and they moved up into the which is like the major league in soccer. And then that same year that they moved up, their first year, they won the whole thing.
No way.
Yeah, so it was crazy. I remember that year I was in San Diego. I remember crossing the border to Tijuana.
That's crazy.
It was just
nuts.
Drunk heaven everywhere. It was crazy. There's a street called Revo, which is like the strip here.
Yeah.
But it's nothing but bars, nightclubs, and strip clubs all the way up and down for like 5 or 6 blocks. Man, they had to close the street down because there was thousands of people on the street. It was
crazy.
It was insane. They, I remember we ran to...
Maybe we should save these stories for off air.
No, we ran to the airport because at the airport they were all, because they had gone away and then they were going to land. It was crazy, man.
That's dope. I was in LA the night, one of the night after the LA Kings won their last Stanley Cup. It was total chaos. It was awesome.
That sounds awesome.
I'm sure LAX is pretty terrible as it is, but to have like people showing up and just for that, crazy. I can imagine traffic.
I know, that'd be terrible. Where would they have? Where will they have the championship parade in Vegas?
I think they do something on Fremont.
Yeah, I'll just
they'd probably go from T-Mobile down Las Vegas Boulevard.
That's a long stretch. That's way too long.
What else they got to do?
You
got to
go through the stratosphere?
It's the strat now.
Oh, through the strat.
I'm not calling it the strat.
It's the strat. Or like with the Red Sox, they have like the parade over here, and then they meet back up somewhere else.
So they could do
something similar as where...
And then meet up at Fremont.
Exactly, yeah. So you have your procession all the way down here. Then once you get to, like, Sahara, the strip kind of gets that little gap.
Yeah.
And then they just turn off and go away. And then, like, the after party, you'd be, like, on Fremont. Yeah. And
that'd be dope.
Because, they did that fan festival down there. And they do stuff down there every year. So
that's fun.
I've been there.
Yeah, that's fun.
Or they just say, screw it, and do it outside T-Mobile and Toshiba Plaza. And
that'd be dope. It'd be packed, though. Toshiba Plaza is so packed. That's crazy. So that's what do you guys say? We're good?
I got some GBWs.
All right, cool. Let's do that. So like we always end it, we go to good, bad, and the weird with Dylan. Good news, bad news, and weird news coming out of sports.
So the good for this week is women's college basketball. Hey. Juicy Landrum from Baylor hit 14 threes.
Juicy.
Which is a D1 record. It was a 14? Big 10, 14 in one game. Hey. Yeah, it was a new D1 record, new Baylor record, new Big Ten record.
New everything record.
They were just, and she was just feeding the ball and just wetting everything. Like,
damn,
they were guarding her. She was still making them. She was wide open. She was making them.
Damn.
Yeah, she would, and when she had her chances, she'd pass the ball to somebody else. They would make points, and then she'd get the ball back and make her points again. Yeah.
I'd be like, not here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd just feed you the ball the whole day.
Exactly.
Let me rack up my assists.
That's what I would do.
And then my bad is subjective depending on your... perspective, but the Cowboys are 0-7 when losing at halftime this season.
That's pressed.
Yeah.
They can knock it out the hole. And if you can't do that, you might as well not go in the playoffs.
Exactly. Right. Unless you're apparently not good enough to... That's literally like all the games you've lost is because you were losing at halftime, which is...
So by half, if you're not winning, you're pretty much
done.
You
might as well just not even come out the locker room because statistically you're not coming back.
Shoot, the Bears should never come out the locker room.
Right?
Yikes. Oh, sad.
And then my weird is good old Carmelo Anthony. Since being traded from Denver back in the day, he's 0-7 when playing against them.
What?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, which, I mean, he's only played them seven times with, like, what, three or four different teams? And
we can call that a curse.
I mean, maybe.
They just played, didn't they?
Yeah, they played, I think, Sunday or Monday.
Mm.
In his defense, Denver's actually pretty good now, so, I mean.
In the last seven times, also.
That's
crazy. Yeah. Let's call that a curse. That's the Great Bambino curse.
Something like that. Yeah. Cool. Just on him, though. Or I guess whoever picks him up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that. Yeah, it was the same with the Yankees. It was the
their team was they didn't
was cursed.
Win
yeah, because
same with the Cubs, their team.
With
like,
the Billy
Goat cursed. Yeah.
Do you guys hear that? Do you guys know that thing, that curse, where
never heard of
with
it,
the Cubs?
There's a guy who in the like 30s or 40s, sometime in that time when they were playing, it was in Wrigley Field, and the Cubs didn't allow a Billy Goat to go into the stadium. So then he for some reason he wanted to bring a goat in the stadium.
That's weird.
And then they had to like take him out of the property, and he said that not bringing a billy goat into your home is a curse, that if somebody wants to bring it, then you have to accept it and just allow it in. But then because of that, they were cursed, and he cursed them, and he said, you guys will not win a World Series. That they will never be ever win a World Series after that.
So did they bring a goat in there? Is that how they broke it?
So people say that all the time. They're like, so what happened? Did you guys bring a billy goat? But it was one of those things.
What's in the back, sir? Nothing.
Nothing. upset stomach. I'm just nervous, my first game.
Why is your goat chewing on the grass? Why is your bag chewing on the grass?
Sir, your bag is moving and just made a sound. No, it's my stomach.
It's my stomach.
No, I think they just did better draft picks. Yeah. So that was crazy. But I don't know. They always make up curses. I remember with Petco Park. A Giants, a construction worker who was a Giants fan, tried to dig a Giants jersey under the field. Wow. Yeah,
I think I heard about that.
Yeah, that was crazy. I remember it made like headline news in San Diego. That's crazy. It's like they're trying to curse the stadium.
That's
and
everybody's funny.
Like, I'm like, well, somebody definitely dug something in there. Can somebody undig it? All right, guys, this is close to the end. Shout outs. I don't even know if we have listeners at this point. Yeah.
Thank you for being here and for coming on with us.
For clearing your schedule. You're busy
yeah,
schedule.
Yeah, flying all the way over, you know, making some time.
Yeah, always. Mm-hmm. Every Monday now, you know, I'm going to be here. I cleared out my whole Monday for you guys.
Dang.
I'm going to fly in, fly right back out.
Hey, you got to fuel that chopper every day now,
yeah,
huh?
Every day. I'll take y'all on the ride.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Not right now because, you know, it's raining and it's turbulence. I don't want y'all to get scared, but I got y'all.
I was like, damn. Shout out to Bay.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, two jokes in one day, huh?
No, I feel like it's like redundant for me. Like,
and
shout
what?
Out to Bay, shout out to mom, shout out to my brother.
I always do that. I go, shout out to my wife, yeah. Shout out to my mom, shout out to my daughter.
I don't know.
You got a check mark, bro.
I need a list. I need a list because then my mind goes blank and then
and
I'm going to start writing it on
twice.
The board.
Oh, you're going to find out.
Santa's not real.
My daughter's listening.
I'm sorry, Emma.
But he's
I'm sorry.
I don't take back what I said, but I am sorry.
Sorry
to break
it. I don't regret
kid.
It, but I'm sorry to ruin sorry. It.
Your dad put the gifts this morning. Shaq, shout outs.
Shout out to the wife.
That's right. See that? Check that off.
Right. Shout out to the wife. Shout out to the baby at home. My mom's, if she, I don't know, we back on Instagram.
We are.
Not on
like
Instagram, on Facebook.
Yeah, but we lost a lot of people.
Oh, okay, well, never mind. Well, yeah, shout out to all my friends, though. You know, Jess, Tati, Ed, you know, if y'all listening, shout out to you guys.
Shout out to you
shout
guys.
Out to you guys for actually bringing me onto the show. I'm
definitely.
Excited to have, like, a lot of fun with y'all.
Definitely.
You know, 2020 bringing in all the good vibes.
That's
so
right.
Thank you guys again for the opportunity.
Shout out to that, for sure. Dylan.
Shout out to our friends Brad and Brooklyn for their recent
birthdays.
That's right. Happy birthday, Brad Brooklyn, not Taylor.
Not
Taylor,
Taylor. But shout out to Taylor too. Shout out to everybody that always listens, likes, follows, retweets, MySpaces, all that good stuff.
We should get on MySpace.
Shout out to my mom for listening, for Dom for listening.
Oh, shout out to mom for those goodie bags.
Yeah, thanks,
oh,
Miss Natalie.
Thank you.
Shout
thank
out to
thank you so much, Miss Natalie. That was they're so good.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Again, shout out to Shaq for cleaning his schedule to come through.
Of course. You guys are cool, man. You all my people.
Shout out to Favela's wife. She's really nice.
Yeah,
I beat you to it.
Shout out to my wife because we're driving tonight.
Ooh, yeah, drive safe.
Yeah, drive safe.
Troubles and all that.
Well, someone didn't want to let us borrow the chopper.
It's a turbulence. The windshield wiper's not working. You know? I don't want y'all to fly like that. You know?
Shout out to my wife. Shout out to my daughter. Shout out to my mom. Familia Favela, muchas gracias por escuchar. And shout out to everybody. The holidays are here. It's officially going to be Christmas in 2 days. I hope everybody has a wonderful holiday season. Please stay safe. Thank you so much for listening. This is not our end of the year show, but we definitely want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Celebrate, have fun with your family, watch sports, enjoy it. I know we will. So thank you so much for listening. And again, catch all of this on the podcast and look us up as @DevSportsTalk. On all social media platforms. Remember, 2020 is going to be an amazing year. Like I said, this is not our end of the year show, but we got a lot of cool things coming, and we really can't wait to share with you guys. So thank you guys for listening, and again, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, family, for listening. So everybody, peace.
Peace.